Hello, everyone. Thanks for joining. We're going to get started in about 3 minutes. I want to give people until 5 after the hour to hop on. In the meantime, I think I'm just going to resume our playlist from the praise and worship session that we just ended. Give me just a second, and I will share that screen and my sound. And yeah, we're going to give people about 3 more minutes to join. I'll be back at 1:05 p.m. Eastern.
Don't you feel so alone, like a child lost with no home? They keep telling you to be strong, but you say, he has his hands on you.
He has his hands on you.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
He said,
he'll see you through.
You through.
And when you cry, he's holding you. So you can just lift those hands up. He will hear.
All right, everyone. Thanks for joining me for today's live Q&A session. This is a free-for-all. So everyone is welcome to come on camera if you choose to. You're welcome to unmute yourself and ask questions. This is just a great opportunity for us to connect and commune as believers. If there are any questions that have come up for you as you have attended the various sessions from day one and day two, this is a great place for you to share them and have your questions answered in a loving, non-judgmental way. So yeah, I'm here to support everyone who's here in attendance. So if there are no questions, then we'll just end the call quickly. But if there are, I'm happy to get started. So feel free to unmute. Let me stop my share. Hello, my beautiful sister Jessica.
Hi, I'm just here for support too. I
I
don't have
appreciate it.
to.
Yeah, we have a few. So we have two speakers on. Both you and Kathy are here. And I see we have Georgia. We have someone else that's coming up, iPhone. So I can't see the name. But yeah, we just want to check in and see if there are any questions. If not, we could come back at 2 for our live panel today. Me just a second. It's giving me some weird message about the recording. Okay. Right. I think that fixed it. I think I would love to know if people just want to drop in the chat how they heard about the summit, where they're joining us from, and maybe when you first decided to give your heart to Jesus and start, following him, living according to the word. I'd love to know. Roanoke. Not too far away. Hi, Kathy.
Hello. Sorry, I was on mute for a second there. I'm glad to join in. I was wondering if the panelist session that's coming up, if people had pre-submitted questions, because I'm looking forward to answering questions around that topic, obviously, and so I'm looking
Yeah.
forward to it. Yeah.
That is a great question. I did not see. I should have talked to you beforehand, Kathy. I did not think of that. I would have created a quick form for people to submit questions, even if they couldn't show up live.
Next
But
time.
yeah, always next time. So no pre-submitted questions, but I am excited about the panels. Those were the top two, so I gave people an opportunity to decide between five. It might have been five or six, and those were the top two. So I'm excited to delve into it, even if people can't attend. I know that we can put our brains together and think of some great questions to spark the conversation, and then take it from there and just share the recording with those people who are upgraded.
Yeah, that's a great idea. Yeah, because there are questions that we've received ourselves on the topic, and we might, open with those because they might be on the minds of people who might not be want to be the first ones to go or something like that. So.
I am thinking about that now, but I wasn't thinking about it initially. Just the pressure sometimes, especially if you're new to the faith, to ask questions, not knowing, what the environment is going to be. Are these established believers? Are these, are they going to receive me lovingly? So yeah, that's a great idea. I'll keep it in mind for the next summit, just giving them an opportunity to submit things in advance.
Yeah, and I'm always of the opinion that there really is no such thing as a dumb question.
Yeah, I've had to learn that over the past few years because I was in the camp where I was like, there are dumb questions. Don't do
Yeah, no, there really
it.
isn't because not knowing what people's backgrounds are, what they have learned
True.
or unlearned or, those kinds of things, that I have to make room for any
Right.
question. And I find, the kids, my own children, ask questions, and it's a skill to ask questions, and they're learning to ask and articulate better what they actually mean, So learning to ask questions is a skill, and you got to do it by practicing it. So it's an open place, a safe place to ask questions. I mean, it's much better than posting it on Facebook and getting a bunch of bad advice from all
Right.
sorts of different people, and even
Yeah.
some shaming, because I've seen trolls kind of shame
I
people.
have. I
Yeah.
have.
So it's a safer place. So I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, I've definitely seen people do that. And then it leaves a bad taste in your mouth and you don't want to do it again. So
Absolutely, yeah.
safe space. You don't have to worry about that. There's no judgment. We're just going to lovingly share with you what we've learned, right? Because we might be at different stages in the process and on our journey with God, but we've all had to learn. So yeah.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think it's always a learning process in general, just walking with God, because I think I was I telling you? I don't remember who I was telling. But I was telling somebody recently, I'm like, I know that God can talk to us any way, but it's still something that you have to learn to be open to, that he can talk
Right.
to you in any type of way. So I remember when we were doing our interview for the summit, and I think I was telling you, I was like, oh yeah, tomorrow I'm just gonna sit with God all day and everything, because that's how I usually talk to him. And yeah, that didn't happen the way that I expected it to happen. And so it was like, after I was asking him, like, why am I not hearing you? What is going on? What am I doing? And it's because he was like, well, I don't want to talk to you like that. I need you to actually do. And in your doing, I'm going to show you that I'm talking to you. And also with the community. So even talking with my community, just having the conversations, I'm just like, oh, that's good. Oh, that's confirmation. Like, it's so many things that is coming through the conversation. So, and of course he spoke to me before in that manner, but I was just so focused on like, no, I gotta go sit down and be quiet. And yeah, no, that's not what it is. So it's literally like, it's just a journey of learning life, but also living with God at the forefront is still a learning journey in itself too. So
I agree with you. God knows that I have this disdain for folding laundry. Disdain for folding laundry. And he shows up every time. He like speaks to me while I'm folding laundry every time. And I'm like, thank you for being here because you know I don't like it. Folding laundry for seven people is no joke. Like I just hate it with a passion. And
yes,
I know
it.
you're not supposed to hate things. I just hate it with a passion.
When you said disdain, I was like, I'm gonna have to take that because I've never used that word like that. And I was just like, wait, disdain. Yes, that's how I felt about cooking. But again, it was prophesied to me like, no, he needs you in the kitchen so that he can talk to you. And I'm just like, oh, my gosh, God, you know I don't want to be in this kitchen. Like, you know I don't
Anything
want
else?
Right. And you sure you don't want to talk to me in the car? Like, no.
That's one of my favorite places, though, to hear from the Lord, just driving in silence. I used to be like a praise and worship girl in the car, or I'd listen to podcasts or anything to sort of fill the space. And someone told me that they were like going, they were going on drives just in silence with God. And I was like, I'm curious. And I started trying it. And he would be speaking. I'm like, what am I missing out on by wanting to snap my fingers all the time? What is happening? But yeah, he speaks to us in so many different ways. Just think, we just went to the Proverb, not the Proverbs, that was in December. We just went to the Increase retreat in January. And I was sitting on the beach, like, I need to hear from you. Snot everything. Like, I need to hear from you. And he's like turning the pages with the wind. Like, he can speak to us in any kind of way because he's God. I just think sometimes we get used to hearing him in a certain kind of way. Like, I like hearing him in my secret place. I like hearing him in the car. I like hearing him when I read his word. And he's like, I'm so much bigger than that. Like, I'm so much bigger than that. So yeah.
Yeah, that's what it is. Like, I'm used to the car,
Yeah.
and I think that's, but the car comes with distractions too, because and I think it's because of when I go. So I
Yeah.
think that if you're doing car rides, it has to be intentional of where
Yeah.
you're going and what time, so that you actually have that focus on actually hearing from him versus the traffic that you're trying to fight through.
Yeah. That's true.
But yeah, I hear you with the definitely trying to, I don't want to hear you this way, and getting used to that, you know, like God is definitely bigger than just writing in a journal or just
Very
sitting in
true.
the car or just like, again, I mean, in this season, he told me straight up, he was like, I'm talking to you different. And I'm like, oh, okay.
I love that for you, sis.
I'm here for it.
And you know, Simona, I love talking about the different ways God reveals himself, because that's why I wrote that devotional in that book. It's just when I talk to people, they're very closed in on God only reveals himself one or two, maybe three, if they've really been a Christian a long time. And I'm like, no. We need to train ourselves to hear God, to experience his presence, to look for him to reveal himself while we're suffering or while we're going wrestling the hard things, you know, like you were saying on the beach, you know, with through your tears. And yes, the different locations, like out in nature, you know, with our feet on the ground, whatever those places are, but also in the different seasons, because he does speak differently. When I was going through the year after COVID hit, I lost somebody I cared for one a week. It was nuts. I never experienced something like that. I asked my parents, who've been in ministry for 40 plus years, I said, have you ever experienced a year like this? And they said, never. Losing someone one a week. I mean, I almost had PTSD. I'd start Monday out, like, who am I going to lose this week? You know, it was just terrible. But his presence with me during that, and it wasn't all COVID. I mean, some of it was suicide. Some of it was, you know, really hard things. Some of it was just tragedy. And then, but his way of speaking to me during that time was more tender and more quick. He was so quick. And you know how that the scripture says he's close to the brokenhearted. And I was like, you must be right here at my elbow. Because when I uttered the prayer, before I even finished the prayer, I heard him speak one time with one of the people who committed suicide. And, you know, there's a lot of people have scholarly thoughts and debates about suicides, but whatever your thoughts are, it took me a week and a half before I could pray. I was just so torn up about it. And so the when I finally sat down on my knees to pray and I said, Lord, I bring you this person, he immediately answered and said, he's already here. And I was like, what? You know, just that fast. I didn't even finish my prayer. He said, he's already here. And what a comfort that was to me. And then I popped up and I texted a friend of mine, his sister. And I said, she's not really walking with the Lord. And I said, I don't know what you believe. I don't know where you are, but this is what I heard the Lord say. And she said, it's so funny you said that, because last night, his mom, which is her stepmom, told me she dreamed of him coming to her in the dream and saying, why didn't you tell me heaven was this incredible? He was an artist. He said, why didn't you tell me it had this many colors? And then that was a part of the dream. And so, you know, it was very healing, obviously, to know where he is, to be at peace that he's with the Father, that I can trust that this tragedy is going to be in Christ's hands. And I know that in my head, but this is a, you know, a new situation and it hurt. And then I found him just right there at my elbow, speaking so quickly during that time. And sometimes I got to press through. I mean, it might be a month before he answers my question, but in this case, he answered it so quickly.
Yeah. God is good and he's faithful. I am sorry for your loss, but I know that he was there with you throughout the entire experience throughout that year. And I'm glad he brought you through so that you could share it with us today. Something came up for me when you were just talking, Kathy, and I want to share it here. So maybe we can have a discussion about it and get others' input. And so I've been in some circles that believe that once someone has passed on, they never come back. Like they never come to you in dreams. They never visit, anything like that. What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts and what the Bible says. So I have to go to the Bible. So in some cases, well, we have Samuel speaking to Saul. So we know that it happens. I'm not sure that it's common. And I don't know that you could make a sermon out of it. And I don't know that you would want to. I don't know that you would go searching through the scriptures to find those instances and preach a sermon that somebody could come back. I know Jews do believe it, and there's certain sects that do and certain sects that don't. I never put a limit on God. If he wants to get a message through an angel, or if he wants to get a message through another human alive or whatever, I don't limit him from doing that, but I certainly am not going to take what they say and do some life-changing event. I'm going to take it as a comfort, right? I'm not going to change my life or take on a new event or let that be any kind of guidance. It's more like a comfort. I know of people who have been comforted, especially if they've lost a child. And that makes sense to me, where the Lord would maybe reveal, hey, here's a vision of your child in heaven. It's not like that person actually came to them, but they saw a vision. So I would definitely make room for that in a dream or a vision, but not in some kind of apparition or ghost kind of thing, even if that may have been what Samuel did. But it was obviously clearly through this witch of Endor, who was kind of shocked that it actually happened. So it's not prescriptive. We don't need to go consult a witch to speak with someone who's dead. That is witchcraft, and she wasn't supposed to be doing it. So that would be my answer biblically. I don't know that you can make a case for it, but you can kind of just tuck it under God's goodness to speak to us where we are and to allow visions and dreams to comfort us.
Yeah, that's helpful, because I've definitely had friends who've had family members do that. I have family members who've done it as well, who have like experienced dreams like that as well. And so it was just a question for me. Jessica, thank you for dropping that question in the chat. I'm going to call on some people. This is not like elementary school call on you and you have to come off mute, but it is a loving invitation. I see that we have Helen here. We have Lydia here. We have someone on their iPhone. Again, I can't see the name. If you have any questions, if us discussing these two questions has sparked anything within you, feel free to, you know, come off mute or drop it in the chat. We'd love to hear from you. Again, open and honest, non-judgmental space. I'm going to repeat that.
It is a good question in the chat that Jessica posted.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody can see it who just joined, like Helen or Gigi. But it says, how do you like to hear God speak to you, or that you are, or how are you used to him speaking to you? Yeah. And I'm sorry, you can come back on iPhone, sir.
I think I go through seasons. Sometimes he speaks to me one way for a long period of time, and then I get used to it. And I don't think he likes me getting used to it. I don't think he likes me getting into a rut where I'm dependent on something to produce a result. But instead, he wants me to lean into him. So I think he likes to keep me off kilter just enough so that I'm really reaching for his spirit. And I even get like that with versions of the Bible or worship music, where it, you know, it used to be if I put on, you know, a certain kind of song, I'd be transported just feeling God's presence instantly. And maybe it's a human tendency, and we just kind of get used to it, but he does not want us to treat it as ordinary. It needs to be holy. And for me to continually treat it as holy and to come fresh and understanding that the Spirit of God wishes to commune with me, and I need to be in a reverent place to receive that and not a consumer, or, you know, because I think as an American, I can get into the consumerism, especially with the Bible. And I can read the Bible consuming it for what it brings me, right? But that's not always how I need to come to the Bible. I need to come for correction. I need to come for his abiding presence to be near me, to transform me. And so I think he just constantly keeps me off kilter. And maybe that's more my personality, because I can fall into a rut. Like, I can eat the same breakfast for a year and be fine. Most people cannot. So he's always keeping me out of ruts. I don't know if everybody else is that way.
I was going to say that. Well, Simone, I know you wrote something down. I had to type something too, because I was like, I'm going to forget. So I don't know if you want to go first.
No, you could go.
Okay, well, let's see what's in the chat first, because we have two chats. I'm like taking over your, you know what? Go ahead, someone.
Jessica, I'm here for it. I want all the help I can get. I'm here
Okay.
for it.
Okay. Let's see what Gigi said. So, scriptures that I may see throughout my day and those words that the Holy Spirit brings to my remembrance as I experience my events throughout the day. Yes. I definitely agree with that. Scriptures, the day of the word, I mean the word of the day, definitely help. A friend of mine wrote about the topic of obedience and when the Lord speaks a word to obey quickly. Yes, because you never know what your obedience or who your obedience is attached to. Could talk through, oh wait, I jumped. Okay, could talk through when the Lord reveals something prophetically that doesn't require an immediate action other than to pray into the word. In other words, can you discuss when some words from the Lord require us to obey quickly versus when he is calling us to a more in-depth conversation?
Ooh, that's a good question.
Yeah, that's a very good question.
That's a really good question. I could maybe take a little bit of that one, and then
Yeah.
you guys can piggyback on it. This is like a passion of mine. I grew up in a church that believed prophetic words had to be put on a shelf every time, and that you had to test it. And I agree with that 100%. You got to test it. But some words from the Lord, you need to obey quickly. And then other words, there's like a range of words. Some are sovereign declarations from God that are just going to happen whether you participate in it or not. We see a lot of that in the Bible. And they can still happen today, obviously, because he's not changed. But other words require participation. There's a whole range of this, and I did like a year-long study of different ways that God declared things and what was the participation in it. Sometimes we miss out on the fulfillment of something God said because it required us to be a part of it. So this is a really good question. Knowing what God is saying and what your part is in it is a very important thing to know. I can get a link to you, Simona, if you want, but I put this together as a range of different types of declarations from God and our participation. What's our, not like percentage, but almost like a percentage of participation? Sovereign things that he declares that he's going to do, no percentage of participation. They're just going to happen. If there's another one where he said, if you will seek my face and if you will cleanse your heart and purify your hands, then I will do this. Well, there's obviously a part we have to do. And so there's this range. And knowing that, I think takes testing them and maturity of figuring that out. Lord, what do you want me to do? What is my part in this? And then doing that part. I know the Lord said he was going to heal me from something, but my part was that I was going to have to abstain from sugar and things that cause inflammation. And I had a legitimate part to play in his declaration of healing to me. Does that make sense?
Oh, yeah, perfect sense. All right, iPhone, we don't know your name, so definitely feel free to come off mute and share it with us. But we see you again. And we're so happy you're here. We'd love to hear your question. I think you're muted. Would you like me to unmute you? Is that okay? Let me try.
Yeah, keep running out
Okay.
Gigi was fired from some job. Did he ever mention what that was?
Oh my God.
Okay, we see that you're unmuted, but I'm still having a hard time hearing you. Can anyone else hear you?
No, I don't hear anything.
Okay. All right. Well, we're happy you're here. Feel free to drop your question in the chat as well. We can see those and we'll just read it aloud for you and answer it. Okay.
And I put the link in the chat in case anyone wants to check it out, just to kind of share that scale to answer fully that question. I believe there's intercessory declarations where you really have to be a part of it, mindful declarations, truth declarations, prophetic declarations, and then sovereign declarations. And this is nothing to do with worldly affirmations based on nothingness or hope or something like that. This is just entirely based on what God has said.
Yeah. Thank you so much for that, Kathy. I appreciate you sharing that resource. I want to go back up to that question, the second one in particular. Can you discuss, excuse me, can you discuss when some words from the Lord require us to obey quickly versus when He is calling us to a more in-depth conversation? I will just draw from personal experience. So there is sometimes where the Holy Spirit will prompt me to send a text to someone or to call someone. They'll put that person on my heart. And I'm gonna be honest. Sometimes I'm driving and I'm like, I'm gonna try to remember. Please bring it back to my remembrance later. And so those are instances where I feel personally, I feel prompted to like move immediately, or I'll hear like send X dollars to this person, and I'm like, okay, well, I know this needs to happen now. Like, there's something you're trying to do, there's something you want to do within the world, and I have to do it now. Versus take this summit, take these summits, for example, I'll get the idea usually during a summit, and I'm like, I haven't even finished this one. What are we doing? Right? But he'll give me the idea, he will plant the seed. And then I think it goes back to those declarations that Kathy was just trying to explain to us really quickly the distinctions between, because that requires me to do something. A lot of times, the attendees just get to see the summit, right? And they might see a broken link here, but overall, they see the summit and they don't see like the, how can I put this nicely? The toil, the joy, and everything that has happened leading up to that summit. They don't see the growth, right? Each of these summits, while it has been for the attendees, while it has been filled with words that he wanted to get to his people, it has very much been for me as well. Take the You're Meant for More summit that I did last January. That was all about really claiming your identity as a daughter of Christ. It was about learning to love yourself and embrace that new identity and find purpose. I needed to go through that and I needed to learn about that. I needed to watch those sessions before any of the attendees did, and they blessed me as well. So I would just say that there are times where I feel like there's an immediate prompting. I know it's the Lord through the Holy Spirit telling me to do this. And then I have to act on it. And then there are other times where I'll get the summit, like an idea for a summit. And sometimes I'll hear a month, but I won't get a specific date. And then I'll have to keep going back and forth and back and forth, having a dialogue with the Lord to get more clarity. And sometimes because he knows that I used to take pride in being a control freak and a people pleaser, he'll just throw monkey wrenches into the mix and just make me switch things up, which makes me feel like, aha. But ultimately, it's for my growth and it's, for my good, and he gets all the glory out of it. So, yeah. And I know we have a few more speakers here as well. So if you want to join in, definitely feel free to come off mute. I see we have Tayana, we have Colette, Ramona has joined. She and her husband did the amazing Another Gospel session yesterday. So yeah, feel free to come off mute if you want to chime in.
I was gonna say before anybody else chimes. From personal experience, yes, obeying now. That was actually I have a Today's Testimony kind of, I guess you would say, series on my YouTube. And so, not the last one, but the one prior to, I actually, this is kind of twofold. I actually knew what the next testimony was supposed to be, the next testimony that was supposed to be shared. I knew it back in December, but I never actually shared it until this month, earlier this month. And I knew that it wasn't something that I needed to share immediately, because I feel like for me, when I know I need to do something immediately, I have the urge. Like, it's like a push from the Holy Spirit that's like, all right, you need to do this. Like, this is urgent. You need to do this now. You need to do it today. And I didn't have that. So I knew that it wasn't urgent until I actually did share it. And after I shared it, I was like, okay, good. I knew I needed to do that. It's done. But then I got very, like Simona said, we had our last cohort of a ministry group that we were a part of in the end of December. And some of those women did not come over into the new cohort. And so I kind of felt some type of way. I was feeling sad and like missing some women. And I reached out to them randomly. Like, it was like 10 o'clock at night or something. And I just reached out to them randomly. And one of them, I knew that she was kind of not herself, if you would say, just in her response. And so when I asked her, like, oh, do you need any prayer requests or something? And she was like, yeah, I need you to pray about this house. And so when she told me that, I was like, oh my gosh, I literally just released a testimony in regards to the same thing that you're praying for. And it just happened all in such perfect timing where I, even though I knew that I needed to do something from December, I didn't do it until I was pushed to actually do it. And in that time frame, within literally a day, or I think it was like, yeah, it was like a day or two, I was then pushed to do something more immediate, which was reach out to these women. And one of those women needed that testimony. So it was like, so to kind of like go back to answer the question, I feel like you just have to be very mindful of the Holy Spirit and how he's guiding you, because he is there to help us remember, like you said, remember God's word, but also to do and act. Like, the Holy Spirit is within us, so we can feel God's presence. We can feel him there with us. So if he's pushing you to do something, I would then do something. It's just like, sometimes when I'm talking, sometimes I kind of hear him say, like, you need to say this. They need to hear this. You need to tell them this, even though I don't really want to. It's like, when you have that urge, I feel like when you have that urge, you'll know if it's flesh or not, because more than likely you probably don't want to, which is probably hint that it's not you, because the flesh, I feel like, and this kind of goes back to what Kathy was talking about prior, what we were talking about prior to your question, Lydia, is about habits. Like, the flesh is comfortable. And so as humans, we like to get comfortable. Like, we get comfortable in how God talks to us, and we get comfortable in doing these things. And it doesn't seem like that big of a deal or anything like that. But we have to remember that God is much bigger. And that in our walk with him, that, like Kathy was saying, that we have to be mindful of that. Like, he can talk to us in different ways. It's not just this and this and this. And that he wants to expand us. That's how we grow as well. So if we're always doing the same thing over and over and over again, how do you really know where you can reach as a max? How do you really know how far you can grow and how far you can actually stretch if you're always in that same comfort zone? Another thing I wanted to add on to that, because I was telling you I'm typing. asking, Kathy mentioned asking God, you know, is this something you need me to do now? And it just brings me back to Matthew 7:7. Ask for what you want, and and it shall be given unto you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and it shall be answered. So if you ask him for what you want, you call unto him, like Jeremiah 33, 3 says, if you call unto him, he's going to answer you if you're really seeking him with your whole heart. So I definitely think that that's very important as well. Like, if you really don't understand where to go or how to move or what's the urgency, you want to seek God on that. Like, can you show me? And you don't want to always just sit and wait. You want to start doing. So just kind of like I was talking about last month, you know, I didn't hear from God in the way that I wanted to, but I knew I couldn't just sit there. I had to do something. And that's when he started speaking and allowing me to realize, like, okay, he's talking to me different now. Like, he's not just wanting me to sit. He wants me to do. So sometimes you have to actually do in order to hear as well. Mm-hmm. And the last thing I had was, I know Kathy mentioned in the previous discussion about hearing from God, just using different versions of the Bible. So when we're studying, we're looking at scriptures and everything, we need to make sure that we're mindful of the different versions of the Bible. I know that some versions, they omit certain scriptures, or, you know, it may not be exactly what one version says or something like that, but I think that that's the beauty of it, because not the omission part, but but the different wording of it, because certain words may trigger a revelation. You know, it may have you think of something in a different way. So for example, I remember getting a revelation over what is the one? Oh my gosh, I think it's in John where I have to find it because it's going to drive me crazy, where it's talking about Jesus being, oh my gosh, where it says that Jesus came to the world. Hold on, I'm going to find it really quickly, y'all. So many verses, but this is one that I have on my, and it's a very common verse. Once I say it, y'all are gonna be like, oh, that one. You didn't know what that meant. Okay, so John 1:14. Okay. John 1:14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as the only son from the father, full of grace and truth. And that's the ESV version, the English Standard Version. And so with that, like, I understood that Jesus is the word and he became flesh and dwelt among us. But I was just like, it was the full of grace and truth part, because when you think about it, God's word literally shows you how gracious he is, mm-hmm. in every single scenario, everybody's life. Like, but Jesus actually lived that gracious life as well. So not only is it was just like such a revelation to me, like, oh my gosh, like, the Bible, yes, the word of God is gracious, and of course it's truth. But Jesus was literally living and working and walking among us as full of grace and truth. So it's like, even just that, just reading, even though I knew that verse, it's just reading it in that different version helped me to make that revelation. And sorry, the last one before you go, Roy, is the other one was that God would give you the desires of your heart. I never seen that as like, oh, you get closer to God and God is actually giving you the desires that you want. It's right. Like, I've seen it as like, oh, the desires that I want, God will give me. As far as like, oh, if I want to buy this, then God will provide for me in a provision matter, not actually like, God is actually saying, no, you want this. You want this because you're in alignment with me. So again, just like revelation is just like, it's amazing, especially when you read in different versions. So I definitely highly recommend reading different versions of the Bible.
And I'm so happy you brought that up, Jessica, because that's one of the most misconstrued scriptures, I believe. Like some, I've heard sermons just talk about it, and they will preach out of context, which makes it false doctrine. And they will say, like, he will give you anything you want. And I'm like,
That's right.
That was one of the things I was hoping that we addressed during the summit, but maybe the next one, maybe the next unschooling, God will talk about that one. I believe that he got every message that he needed to get out to his people through this one. So yeah, maybe that's something we'll tackle the next time. Roy, thank you so much for joining us. Do you need me to repeat the question, or did you want to check?
Sure.
Of course.
I
Okay.
was late to that.
So the question that we're talking about, the question that sparked everything was discussing whether or not, discussing what it means to receive a word from God and knowing whether or not we should move quickly and whether or not it's something that we should, maybe sit on for a little bit, wait on, and have a more in-depth conversation with him for him to reveal it, like reveal his plans. And from there, we started talking about our favorite scriptures and our favorite way to hear from God.
Well, if I had 3 hours, I could probably expound on about all of that, but you're not going to give me that much time. I'm very much, what does the Bible say? And so when I preface the comment by saying simply this, that we pray, we ask for direction, we seek discernment, we take it to God. God, if he wants us to do something, will then open the doors to allow us to do it. We don't have to, quote, storm the castle. The doors will be open. We just have to be willing to walk through it. God promises in Ephesians that he has prepared good works for us to do in advance. We just have to walk in them. Now, the question is how do we discern that? And that's through prayer and oftentimes waiting. And most of us don't like to wait. But that is how I would sort of address that question.
And I'd add to what Jessica was saying as well, and that is that it we mentioned it, it's maturity, and that's how do you get maturity? By practice. So you have to put yourself in situations where you rely on God, and He helps you. You ask for wisdom, He's sure to grant it, and you ask for wisdom in these different situations, these different scenarios. He's going to give it to you. You can believe and not doubt that he's going to give you wisdom. And sometimes I have been known to kind of put myself out there at the edge of a cliff because I don't know what to do. And he always comes. I'm just talking about like stepping out in faith. I didn't hear the whole thing. I didn't have the whole vision. Simona, I think you've done that with these summits sometimes. It's what you were talking about. Sometimes you have to take some steps, and it's God's grace comes in the perfected moment of your need. It doesn't come before you need it so that you're prepared. It actually swoops in right before you fall. It's like you saw the movie The Search for the Holy Grail, and the star of the show has to go across a chasm. And there's nothing there, but he has to go. His dad's dying. And if he doesn't do this, and so you can actually look it up on YouTube. It's a pretty powerful clip. And you can see that he's like, well, here goes. And he steps off. And it's not until it's either him going down into the chasm that he realizes there's something there. And that for me, the sometimes putting myself in those situations, trusting that he said, the portion that he gave me. So I do the portion that he tells me, and then he swoops in. So, but to me, it's testing it and proving it. It's almost like a proving. I can prove to myself that God will be faithful and that he will do what he says he will do in a way that I never even expected.
I like that because I really think that we want to walk by sight. Okay. We want to know everything in advance. We want to have all the answers. It's like we want to ask a question and, we want God to give us our like 10-point plan in advance so we know what to do and we can decide if we're going to do it, when we're going to do it, how we want to do it. But that's just not what the Bible teaches, okay? And the Bible teaches us we need to walk by faith, not by sight. And that's such a struggle. And one of the things I think is a struggle with that is that it isn't a one-time thing. It's not like, okay, so I came to faith in Christ and, I'm good to go. The more you walk with him, the closer and the deeper your walk, the more I think he's going to require of you in terms of what does it mean to step out in faith, okay? And
Absolutely.
I think a lot of times we think we're walking in faith, and God brings us into a season where, okay, what you've done so far is good, but are you willing to follow me deeper? And one of the things, because we've really been going through a season of testing, and I like what you said about, part of it is proving to ourselves God's faithfulness, because I think that is a key aspect of that. But one of the scriptures that I've been meditating on lately is the story of the rich young ruler who comes to Jesus and, he believes he's been doing everything, that he's been taught to follow Jesus. He's following the Ten Commandments, he's living a good life and whatever. But yet inside, he knows that something is missing because he's come to Jesus to say, "What more do I need?" And when Jesus tells him, okay, go sell your possessions, sell your stuff, come follow me. And he's sad, he's heartbroken because there's a part of him that really wants to follow, but that's too much. And I've been thinking about this lately, and I think it comes into this whole faith question. When I hear it taught a lot of times, it's okay, the guy, he just wasn't willing to give up his riches. But I think the bigger lesson there is that he wasn't willing to give up his riches because then he had nothing to fall back on, okay? He depended on those riches to, move through life, to navigate, to get what he wanted. Without those riches, not only is it a who is he, but it's also a, okay, now I am forced to depend on you, God. And he just wasn't ready for that. And I think, again, as we go deeper, if you're a new Christian, you may not be put in that spot, but the deeper you walk with him, the more he is going to require of you as his follower. And it's like we have to ask ourselves, are we ready? Are we willing to go where the Lord leads, no matter how uncomfortable it makes us? Because again, it is a faith and trust issue. And it's really hard when we focus on this unseen future. It's scary. But when we focus on the goodness of God, and how he's provided for us in the past, and how he's never really let us down. I think that's how we move through that. And the other thing I just want to say quickly, because I'm watching the time, is I think when Jessica was talking about the passage about, God will give us everything we need, and you were mentioning, Kathy, yes, that's such a misunderstood passage. I think we need to remember that. The closer we walk with God, okay, the more we dig into the Bible and we learn His word, He is going to shape and conform us more and more into His image, okay? We've been given the mind of Christ, but again, it's something that we have to grow and develop and learn. How does God think? And the more we walk with God and we learn how He thinks, it's not that, okay, God is Santa Claus, here's my list. It's the things that we come and ask are now going to be fully aligned with his will. And it's not going to be so much about
God, what can you do for me? But it's like, God, I want to do for you. You know, you've given me people to serve, you've given me good works to do. I want you to help me to carry those things out, to give me the wisdom, to show me the path. And even if it's just one step of faith at a time, I'm willing to do that.
That was so good. All right. I'm going to come back on camera. Y'all, I am juggling all five kids being home because it was a snow day with no snow. So bear with me. If any of the other speakers are able to like step up during the next panel because you see that I haven't come off mute or something, feel free to do so. I'd love to think that the speakers and I are just like this collective family. So feel free to do it. I won't be offended. I appreciate the help, all of that good stuff. I'm going to go ahead and thank everyone for coming to today's Q&A. I will be sharing the recording as a part of the VIP and the replay passes. So you can look forward to seeing that there once it comes on. I was just reading that quick comment. I'm going to take a quick break, a quick 2-minute break before transitioning to the next session, try to get the kids to settle down a little bit. But we will be back here at 2 p.m. for our live expert panel. And we're talking about some people believing that the Bible is outdated. And I am so excited about this discussion. So be sure to check your email. I sent out a reminder a few hours ago with the Zoom link. We'd love to have all of you there. See you in a little bit.